This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Football, baby.
It's a Football Friday with the boss.
I call shots like a boss.
In the gloss.
My lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
We are the boss in the gloss sitting in Houston, Texas. And my colleague here, the gloss, she's got smoke coming out of her ears. She's mad. Her face is red because the Texans have just released J.J. Watt, their 10-year standout defensive player. Gone.
You know what? Here's what I'm saying now.
Yeah?
Run, don't walk. J.J., Deshaun, anyone worth anything, Will Fuller, get the heck out of there. Just leave. You know, Ron tried to fire us. You saw that.
I understand.
Our producer, he gave us another host name. He didn't like how I beat up on his Texans. He's trying to get rid of me at the break.
Well, let me redirect you just to calm you down.
Okay, please, because I really am. Like, I am.
I know I can see the tension, but we've got Trevor Lawrence trotting out on the field for his pro day at Clemson, and he looks good. He's got just a shorts and a T-shirt on, but every pass I've seen him throw, he looks fantastic. Yeah, the hair flowing in the wind.
Mm-hmm.
He is the prototype, the long-awaited one. He's really amazing. I mean, he is the highest-rated quarterback to come out in many, many years.
I mean, his record is 34-2. His collegiate record, you know, it's
not too bad,
not too shabby. And you know, this is the only stat that gives me a little bit of cause to pause as we sit here and watch Trevor Lawrence throwing right now, looking so good. You know, the highest QBRs for pro days in the last 10 years belong to Andrew Luck, fair, love that, RG3, and famous Jameis.
Ooh. I hope he's more like Andrew Luck.
Yeah, let's hope for that. Let's hope for that.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Dan Shonka of OurLads.com.
A lot to talk to him about now.
Oh, he is an expert on all things NFL and the NFL draft. And with Lawrence out on the field, obviously the number one, we're going to ask Dan Shonka what the Jets will do at number two. It'll be Dan Shonka when we return on the SportsMap Radio Network.
The Football Friday with the boss.
And the gloss.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, Boss and the Gloss. And we get an opportunity to go out to the Progressive Insurance Guest Line. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Joining us now on the SportsMap Radio Network is Dan Shonka of Our Lads. And Dan has joined us before. He's outstanding. Dan, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Hello, good morning. And did you have your smelling salts already this morning?
Dan, I'm so happy you're here because I am just like I've got smoke coming out of my ears. I cannot calm down.
Dan, you have no idea what I'm sitting next to. This woman is enraged. Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. And the Texans have upset Carla.
Again,
what's your take on it? Yeah, give us your view from afar.
Well, you know, I mean, I guess we could kind of see it coming. I mean, this guy is the greatest defensive player, if not the best player, you know, in Texans history, and with all everything he did for the community, the money that he raised, you know, during the hard times there, you know, I mean, it happens. And I think it, you know, that $17 million that is going to hit the cap this year, it's not good for Houston, you know, in one way, but you know, with JJ
in a lot of ways.
But age and time it gets everybody, and you like to see him be there as a cornerstone of a team that could take you to the Super Bowl. But I think there's a lot more problems that got to be cleared up. So I think that, you know, it's good if he leaves and then he can get what he wants maybe, and then Houston is, say, you know, get $17 million more in their bag.
I guess the question we were sitting here struggling with, we sort of expected that this could happen, that JJ would go to another team this year, but why not try to get some draft capital back? Or was that a possibility for the Texans? I mean, we had heard whispers that perhaps there could be a third rounder coming back or a second round pick coming back, but an outright release with nothing in return, that's what seems so stunning and disappointing for Houston.
Yeah, no, I think that they probably shopped him a little bit, but, you know, the teams in the league know, you know, when guys are going to get released, and why put out, you know, some draft capital if you don't have to. And it you know, everything kind of funnels, you know, JJ going to his brothers work and playing with his brothers, and he may go on because Pittsburgh doesn't have, you know, they don't have a lot of money right now either. And so right. He might go there on a veteran minimum deal. Who knows? He's made his money. Let's put it that way. And he could go there, play with his brothers, and, hey, they could make that Super Bowl run.
It will be intriguing to watch, and a reuniting with his brothers or get to play with his brothers would be really a great storyline for the Steelers. Let's shift gears. We're watching Trevor Lawrence at his pro day now. He obviously is going number one. The intriguing question, the draft seems to begin at number two with the Jets. What do you envision the Jets doing?
Well, what they should do and what they will do are two different things. And then when we do our mock draft, we haven't done our first mock draft yet because of all everything that's kind of shifting around. And it, you know, all these mock drafts you see out there right now are basically worthless because of free agency and things like that. But I think what they should do, if they, it doesn't matter, you know, I mean, we've never been Sam Darnold guys. And, you got to have somebody to block in the running game, and you got to have somebody to block, pass protect. And, I mean, to me, you have to look at Penei Sewell from Oregon, and I know it's not a sexy pick, but I tell you one thing: if you don't have people to block for you, go ask the Kansas City Chiefs.
I was just going to say that. Yep.
You have no chance. So I would take the best tackle coming out, and then work my way through everything else because they got another later first round pick.
Dan, who would you, looking at wide receivers, who do you think's the first wide receiver that's going to be taken in the draft? And if it's Devonta Smith, do you think that his stock went up due to Jalen Waddle's, I mean, obviously complete talent on both players, but Jalen Waddle's injury really pushed Devonta Smith to the forefront?
Well, it certainly helped because he was the guy, obviously, when Waddle went down. But, you know, if you look back at LSU a year ago, Ja'Marr Chase was, I mean, he was putting up Devonta Smith numbers a year ago. You know, and he sat out and opted out this year. And he's a little bit bigger guy, and they're similar speed. So I tell you, it's going to be, you know, and Devonta's not, and you know, he was nicked up there late, you know, in the playoffs and things where he'd broken some fingers on his hand. And you're always going to be worried about a guy that small. You know, and he was durable enough for Alabama, but they had so much rotation there and so many good receivers. You could kind of hide that stuff until this year. And this year, hey, he played the SEC schedule all the way through, didn't get injured, but that's going to be a consideration. But I think it's going to be between Devonta Smith and, Chase, from LSU. But, you know, there's going to be teams that like Waddle, but again, he's a burner that's not real big. And, hey, Gruden thought he was going to have a guy last year in Ruggs, and he brings in Ruggs, and he gets injured, and he didn't use him as much as I thought John would, because I worked with John in Philadelphia. So, you know, and the thing is, it's just got these teams, if they draft them, please use them.
Yeah, amen to that. Okay, Dan, because I just cannot let this Texans situation go. I have to ask you about Deshaun Watson. So obviously it's every headline, every day, all day. Who doesn't want to waste his prime years with an organization that's in a free fall? So if you're Nick Caserio, what do you do? What's your approach? Because you've got a quarterback that won't talk to you. The team president leaves because you came at the urging of Easterby. You hire a coach that the quarterback won't talk to. Like, what do you do if you're Nick Caserio at this point?
Well, really, since he's under contract, there's not a lot. I mean, you know, Watson, if he wants to set out and lose his money and what have you, that's up to him. But I think that basically, I mean, the Texans have got the cards, you know. And, I mean, now Dave Culley is a great communicator. And something is also behind the Watson deal, because you all know that Watson is a tremendous, tremendous human being.
Yes.
Great, you know, I mean, all that. And so there's something else driving that. I mean, I'm sure he's sick of this stuff too, and he wants to go out and play football. And I just don't. Hey, I think right now, I mean, the team holds the cards, and unless something changes, I mean, they can just say, hey, that's fine. You sit out. You're under contract for the next few years, and you're not going anywhere. And then Culley, it will have to amend that, you know, relationship, but. You know, I know everybody keeps pushing him out of there and trades and all that, but, you know, I mean, that's sometimes that's just media heads talking around the country for content, you know. I mean, I'm not in the building, so I don't know. And you hear stuff kind of, I mean, a lot of times I know that when I was with different teams and I was in the different buildings, we kind of laughed at, oh man, well, this is really humorous, you know what I mean? And, but anyway, we'll see if this get cleaned up, you know, but I think right now he's going to stay in Houston unless something, you know, I mean, the Texans, just say, hey, you know, I mean, they're going to do everything they can to make it work.
We're talking to Dan Shonka. He's a former scout with the Eagles, Redskins, and Chiefs, and now GM and scout for our lads. So one more question I'd love to ask you. It seems I read these mock drafts over and over, and I do it way too early, and I enjoy watching what everybody says in each iteration of the mock draft. And the quarterbacks are always stratified, and then as we get closer to the draft, it seems like all the quarterbacks creep up, and their value is getting better and better and better because everybody's looking for a quarterback. I'm sure that's going to happen to some degree this year. There is a big number of quarterbacks. How many can you envision going, say, in the top 10 or even in the first round?
Well, I mean, that's the thing that always really drives me batty because, yeah, five of them can go in the first round, but how many of them are going to be players? You know, I mean, we see what happens when teams don't develop quarterbacks and they change head coaches, they change coordinators. But I think that, you know, the NFL's and the fan bases in different places have absolutely destroyed quarterbacks. So, you know, I think that, you know, Trevor Lawrence is obviously going to be the guy, and everybody in the world's probably watching his pro day right now. And then, you know, Justin Fields has got the talent. You know, does he hold the ball too long? We see what happens when quarterbacks hold the ball too long. They get sacked and the ball pops out and, you know, your defense has now got something going for their offense. So, I mean, Zach Wilson, he seems to be this year's, you know, pet for everybody, but he played against awful competition, was very good. He's very accurate. He does a lot of things that we like, you know, in regards to his anticipation and his decision making. You know, he could very well be the second or third quarterback taken. Mac Jones, he kind of reminds me a little bit of, you know, Tom Brady was in my area when I was scouting, and I mean, in his regard to his approach to the game, you know, Tom was that old. I mean, he was ultra, ultra competitive even when he was at Michigan. And Mac Jones is a little more analytical, I think. But I think he's going to probably go in that first round. and the best of all the quarterbacks, maybe after Lawrence and maybe when it's all over ahead of him, is Trey Lance from North Dakota State. But playing 1 year just scares the bejesus out of me because and he was an outstanding year. Didn't throw any interceptions. I saw most of their games on live. I mean, this guy is tremendous talent. But only playing 1 year, and then this year he played one game. They're allowed that in the Missouri Valley because they're playing in the spring, and he's not playing, obviously. But, you know, he had a rough go, but the team they played had already played 4 or 5 games, and they won. He threw an interception, his first one in 2 years. But it was a little rough. But I tell you, this guy has tremendous talent. And maybe when it's all over, you know, we say in 3 years, whoa. This is Lance was the best of all of them. So I think, but right now you have to stick Lawrence, and then hey, it's your preference at number two. And I tell you, I'm squeezing Trey Lance. He very well may be our second quarterback when our first mock draft comes out.
Intriguing stuff. We look forward to all the draft talk. We got to get you back before the draft. I really appreciate you coming on. Dan Shonka joining us here on Sports Map Radio. We'll talk soon.
Hey, thank you very much. Great being with you, Dave and Carla. So long now.
You're listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Carla, is your engine light on? Don't ignore it. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and let their professional parts people scan your vehicle for free. They'll retrieve the codes, discuss possible solutions, and even help you find a professional technician if needed. They'll help you find a reputable repair facility or service center near you, or you can visit O'ReillyAuto.com and click on Find a Repair Shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day. Absolutely. All right. Next segment, because in Houston, Texas, the city is reeling with the announcement that the Texans have released J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt will no longer be a Houston Texan. And so next segment, we're going to get Charlie Palillo, the longstanding authority on all things Houston sports. He is a show host on KFNC, our flagship in Houston. We'll get Charlie to join us next segment to talk all things J.J. Watt and the Houston Texans.
And there's a lot to talk about.
A lot to talk about next segment with Charlie Palillo. This segment, though, we've got some other NFL topics to unpack. The quarterback carousel, I mean, it's sort of interesting to put it all in context. A couple of weeks ago, Aaron Rodgers was presumably at odds with the Packers, and there were questions about his fate. The Russell Wilson saga. Russell Wilson has gone out and discussed his frustrations. And then with the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott, they've struggled to get a new contract. And where they sit right now is that they're still far apart, franchise tag date looming soon. And mysteriously, in their hype video promoting this upcoming season,
can you help me?
Dak Prescott was not included in that hype video, leading to all kinds of speculation about what does that mean with Dak Prescott? Is there a long-term future for Prescott with the Cowboys? And so this is the season of quarterback discontent. And, of course, that's before we get to Deshaun Watson, and we can talk about that next with Charlie Palillo. But yeah, all these quarterbacks in play, lots of teams struggling with quarterbacks who appear to be unhappy.
So you're our resident Cowboy expert.
Yeah.
And I was really struck by the hype video for Dallas. Okay, so, you know, as you noted, the franchise tag that begins in just a couple weeks. If I'm trying to think of it, okay, legally, why in the world would they do a hype video to get you excited about the season, which you clearly saw last season when Dak went down with that awful ankle injury. The team fell apart. I mean, they fell off the cliff. It didn't matter what quarterback they were throwing out there or what was going on. They were not winning. It was a terrible season. So his value is obviously, you know, continues to rise, and he's an important piece of the puzzle. And let's be real. He is a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, the starting quarterback. The leader on and off the field. The Cowboys are probably the most well-known successful franchise, sports franchise in the world, maybe next to Manchester United, given Europe and all that. How in the world can you release a hype video and go, oops, this is an accident that we forgot to put our quarterback in the video? You're looking at DeMarcus Lawrence. You're looking at, you know, what? And you don't put Dak in there. You got Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman. And, you know, the older Cowboys, the former Cowboys, did not take this lightly. Do you see this as an oversight?
Well, it's a clear oversight. Of course, it will all depend on how Dak reacts. The thing that everybody then leapt to was, well, then Dak's not going to be with the team next year. If they're hyping next year and they don't put Dak in, Prescott won't be a Cowboy. But I don't think there's any way the Cowboys let him walk. They're going to tag him. But what they really need to do is sign him to a long-term deal. The problem with the tag, of course, is it'll be a very pricey way to pay for his performance.
It's Kirk Cousins 2.0.
In a year when the salary cap is down. So I think that number is about $37 million if they have to franchise tag him. And then, of course, it exposes them to the potential that he walks next year. So the right answer for the Cowboys is to get that long-term deal.
And sign it now.
But
do it now.
They're
far apart right now.
Yeah, but they're not going to let him walk. They'll either tag him. He'll be playing. This is what's so mysterious about the hype video. I can't imagine a scenario this season when he's not a Dallas Cowboy. He's either going to get tagged or they'll get the long-term deal. I guess there's a scenario where you could tag him and trade him. But those trades are hard to pull off, and that would be a big number to trade, $37 million. You'd have to find a team that could take on that much salary. It's a hard trade to pull off. All those rumors about Russell Wilson for Dak Prescott and that kind of trade, I think people are matching up situations that are delicate or difficult and suggesting that trade. But I just think that's pretty far-fetched. The bad news for the Cowboys is they have struggled to sign him to a long-term deal, and the franchise tag will be a very pricey way to pay your starting quarterback in a tight salary cap. The salary cap is projected to be about $180 million. And so if you've got $37 million committed to one player, that's a tough nut to then fit all the other players into the cap.
Well, they've gotten themselves into that situation. And when you look at the miracle that was given to the Cowboys, taking Dak 166th in the draft, fourth round they took him, and he's been this incredible player. For, I mean, who saw that coming? Nobody saw that coming. Nobody thought he would transfer to the NFL. So the fact that you put out a video like this, I mean, this is clearly on their media guy, Derek Eagleton or whatever his name is. You know, that's a bad choice. And if you feel like, this is a point that I didn't quite finish because I didn't explain it well, but if you feel like, well, he's legally not under contract right now, which he is not, you wait the few weeks until the franchise tag and then put it out with him in it. I think the optics don't look good. And if you're Dak, you're not feeling the love. This is not a great situation for him.
Well, you mentioned who saw it coming that a fourth-round quarterback would play as well as he has.
Did you?
Well, you look back at that quarterback draft class of 2016, and there were at least seven teams who did not see it coming because they took different quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah, go through those.
And right now it's amazing to look at that basket of players because all of them have disappointed in some way. In the first round, first overall pick in 2016 was Jared Goff, who, of course, had just been discarded from the Rams.
He's a Lion.
Carson Wentz, who has had a miserable year in Philadelphia and on the trading block. Paxton Lynch, whom the Cowboys, I think,
Paxton
wanted.
Who?
Paxton Lynch, yeah, it was a guy the Cowboys wanted, did not get. He went to the Broncos, and that was a disappointment. Christian Hackenberg taken in the second round. Jacoby Brissett, free agent now from the Colts. A quarterback, Cody Kessler, Connor Cook.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And now you get to the eighth quarterback taken that year in 2016 in the fourth round, Dak Prescott. So there were a lot of people who felt there were better quarterbacks than Dak Prescott, and he has done a great job of outperforming his draft position.
Yes. And, you know, let's talk about what a great galvanizing force he is for the Cowboys locker room. You know, he's got... He had a white mother, a black father. He understands both sides. He's very well respected. He's an incredible leader and ambassador. He is just, he's a team guy. I mean, he's great. The Cowboys got a gift with him. Take care of him. Let's hope something works out there.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get Charlie Polillo. He is the top authority in all things Houston sports with KFNC Radio in Houston, our flagship. And we will ask Charlie Polillo about the departure of J.J. Watt from the Texans and the direction of the Texans franchise. It'll be Charlie Polillo next on the Sports Map Radio Network.
to Football Friday with the Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, Boss and Gloss, Sports Map Radio Network. And we get the opportunity to go out to the Progressive Insurance Guest Line because drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. And we are joined now by Charlie Pelillo, the longtime top authority on all things Houston sports. Charlie is a host on KFNC Radio, our flagship here in Houston. Charlie, welcome onto the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Good morning. As the Texans' bottomless pit of woe digs even deeper for the fans, I guess. Huh?
Okay, I love you, Charlie. I need you this morning.
I'm trying to put... I mean, this woman over here is on fire. She is enraged. There's smoke coming out of her ears. But you're going to come and bring some sanity to this discussion, aren't you?
I'll give it a shot.
There is none. All right.
Counting on you, Charlie.
Let's first talk about the news today, J.J. Watt being released by the Texans, and then let's get to the broader situation with the Texans. J.J. Watt, was there not a chance? I mean, we thought maybe this would be J.J. Watt's last season, but wasn't there an opportunity to work out a trade and get some draft capital in return, but an outright release? How did that happen?
Well, J.J. went to the family and said, "Get me out of here!" more politely than that. But as I guess with a lot of issues, there are layers. In the Texans' case, it's like an onion. The more you peel, the more it stinks. But Watt's trade value really was rendered minimal. He turns 32 years old next month, still a good player, but no longer a superstar player. A five-sack season, and sacks aren't everything, but the hellraiser that he was the first half of his career and his comeback season a couple of years ago after injuries, he's not that guy anymore. And on the books, his existing contract, $17.5 million, that's very overpaid. And consider, because of pandemic circumstances, the NFL salary cap's actually coming down for the 2021 season, maybe as much as $15 million. Watt at $17.5 million really wouldn't work for any team. So if the Texans could only get, say, a third-round pick in return, they had every right to say whatever the best offer on the table is, we'll take it. But what team would give up capital and pay Watt the $17.5 million? I think in part, genuinely, for all the Texans' dysfunction, there's no indication that the McNair family are bad people. Competence in running a football operation, separate matter. But that J.J. Watt, in a little bit at least, deference to all he brought to the city as a football player and the word hero overused in sports, J.J. Watt truly a civic hero, everything in the aftermath of Harvey, that he gets to get on the market ASAP ahead of free agency as a released player. It's not as if contract expires a month from now. Watt can sign tomorrow if he settles with the team. As soon as he goes through, actually, it'll be 72 hours. The team could claim him on waivers, but then you inherit his contract, so that's not going to happen. But J.J. can go shopping for a team. There will be a market for him, nowhere close to $17.5 million per year. And it's natural for the speculation to start with, one, the Steelers, where his two brothers play, a contending-type team typically, or his growing-up team, the Green Bay Packers, who after back-to-back NFC championship games certainly qualify as a contending team. J.J., not that he needs the money, but he'll have multiple good teams interested in his services, probably going into a phase of his career. We don't count on him to be an every-down hellraiser, somewhere in between a pass rush specialist and a full-time guy. And he should have a nice, rejuvenation phase of his career these next couple of years, though not the guy who won three NFL Defensive Player of the Year awards over a four-year stretch as a Texan.
Well, Charlie, you know, he was that hellraiser on the Texans defense and the only one that was, so they're really left with basically nothing. And their draft capital's, you know, eight picks starting in the third round. But I want to ask, so it's been a really ugly week for Houston that is, like you said, it just continues with Jamie Roots abruptly leaving on Wednesday when they asked him to stay so that they wouldn't look dysfunctional, but he's out of there. Then you've got J.J. Watt, you know, asking for the release today. Why in the world, with people like this, like Jamie Roots, J.J. Watt, Deshaun Watson, Andre Johnson, upstanding, amazing people, why in the world do we have a, quote, character coach running the organization when it doesn't appear we have any problem with character? The problem seems to be in the front office.
You know, this is going to be a future book or a movie or at least a 30 for 30 of potential.
Yes.
To have been a fly on the wall through a series of the Jack Easterby, Cal McNair conversations or whoever mm-hmm. else was privy to them. Svengali Jack is what I've taken to calling him. Cal McNair seems to truly be under the spell, just bamboozled, yep. bewildered, awed, whatever goes into it with Jack Easterby's ability to sell soap or shovel something besides soap. The power, the clout, the influence that he has evidently amassed, it's stunning. It's incomprehensible. The Texans franchise presently is the laughingstock of the NFL, if not all of professional sports. Nick Caserio, the general manager, is a very qualified hire. David Culley, the oldest first-time head coach hire in NFL history, comes from a good background. But you know what? You can have a great GM and a great head coach. They are jockeys right now sitting atop a jackass being asked to run in the Kentucky Derby. You can have the greatest jockey ever. You can have the greatest jockey ever if the horse is no good and they have no chance. And the one horse they have now left worth a darn, of course, Deshaun Watson desperately wants out. That game of chicken, staring match, however you want to call it, how does that play out? It could not be a more buffoonery laden, at least outward appearance to a franchise. You know, we think of the Clippers through the years in the NBA. The Texans have not had back-to-back losing seasons in a decade and a half. And now it feels like they're sentenced to just years of woe and ineptitude. And you like to say, well, if this goes right, that goes right. There's the light at the end of the tunnel. And for Texans fan right now, it feels like, yeah, it's another train coming smack at us.
We're talking to Charlie Polillo. He's a radio show host on KFNC Houston and a top authority on all things Houston sports. So, Charlie, let's talk about Deshaun. I guess the Texans are digging in right now saying, no, we will not trade him. And he is under contract, which would then leave him in a place where he could sit out. I heard on one of the shows, Talking Head shows this morning, that, oh, well, maybe he'll fake an injury. He'll report but have a hamstring problem. That just doesn't feel like Deshaun Watson to feign an injury. How does this whole story play out? Do you see the Texans trading him before the draft so they can get capital? Or are they going to let this bleed into the summer and into the fall?
The thing is, if you're, to coin a Texans phrase that, of course, Bob McNair borrowed, if their position is we're not going to let the inmate run the prison, and Deshaun Watson is not going to dictate to us where he goes, mm-hmm. well, you might not have wanted to include a no-trade clause
exactly.
in the $156 million extension. Now, Mahomes got one in Kansas City, so that was a template for Watson. And, hey, if you want me to sign, you need to include this. And at the point they signed, who could possibly have envisioned things would go this far off the rails? So it was probably a throwaway when they said, sure, you want a no-trade clause? We love you forever.
Yeah, good
right?
point.
So death do us part.
Yep.
So death do us part. Now Deshaun wants the whole organization dead, so you just don't know how those things go. To trade him over the summer blows your opportunity now. If both the Dolphins and Jets are hot to trot for Deshaun Watson, you have clarity that your return for Deshaun starts with either the second or third pick in this draft. And a high second-round pick, of course, having the Texans' own picks from the Dolphins, reclaiming those. So you know we are starting to try to build back a credible operation. If you wait over the summer, you drive the bidding war, you finally agree that Deshaun Watson's not going to come back, or if he does, is it tenable? Will bygones ever be bygones? Or you're just baking in permanent toxicity with the relationship? If you trade him to any team after this year's draft, and you're getting all these draft picks back, well, the whole point of the trade from the other side is Deshaun Watson's going to make us a lot better and a lot better immediately. And if that plays out, then the picks you're getting back are going to be devalued. But if you trade into the Jets before the draft, and you get the second pick in this draft, you also get the 23rd pick in the first round of this draft, all right, and then you see where the Jets go with the picks you'll be getting beyond 2021. But if you wait until June and July and decide, all right, well, I guess we trade him, and he goes to the Jets, and the Jets go 7-9 or 9-7. And now that first round pick next year is 12th or 14th or 17th. So I'm sure a parting would be such sweet sorrow, and they don't want to feel like they're caving to Deshaun's demand, along with the fact he's the linchpin of any hope they have ongoing presently. But given the Texans' operations, who the heck knows? Who the heck knows on what timeline they're thinking, okay, we'll really make the move, or we're going to draw the line in the sand, and if Deshaun Watson would actually, at age 26, sit out an entire season, well, we'll believe that when we see that. We'll call his bluff. I guess at this point, the feeling would be whatever the worst scenario for the Texans would be, they're apt to say, let's go with that one.
Well,
sadly, yes.
You know, noted, absolutely. You know, the thing about the real loss, I mean, obviously this is awful for the Texans to lose this franchise quarterback. It's not great for Deshaun either, in the sense he's going to go to a team that's going to give up a king's ransom. And so he's going to walk into a team that will be devoid of a lot of draft capital. Now, he's Deshaun, and he'll make a mark on that team. But there's no real winner here. It's just a mess between those two. I hate to see it for Deshaun Watson, the player, and on his career trajectory. It's not where he should be at this point in time.
Yeah, and the level of personal animosity that seems apparent, we're talking at the ownership level.
Yeah.
And Cal McNair, you know, he's so rarely available to the media. He should not be punished or demonized for the fact that he's not very glib. He's certainly not very adroit with his words in a public setting. But it's not, to me, unreasonable at this point to feel that this is a silver spoon baby guy, just totally in over his head when he inherited the CEO, COO role after the passing of his father, deer in headlights, whatever you want to put it. But I think for many, many people, it circles back to, how in the hell did a former team chaplain character coach become the guy who is a real shot caller and has not Cal McNair's ear? He has Cal McNair's ears, his heart, his mind, his soul. It's just amazing. It is just amazing. And whether Easterby's thinking I'm winning, or there's some self-awareness that, you know, how do I recover from this going forward as a credible voice in Houston and sellable to the fans? I mean, winning is deodorant, so if they get it turned around, but it's going to be a very, very slow turn unless Casario and Cully can do a brilliant job. And, you know, it is a league with turnarounds. When Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch went out to San Francisco, they were in the dumpster. Three seasons later, they were in the Super Bowl. The Texans' heritage does not suggest that that's the likely path they'll be heading down.
Charlie, we got about one more minute. And something you mentioned, Jack Easterby here, the team chaplain, coach, player guy. I mean, all the titles he's doing now. One thing that has been amazing to me is it seems I can't remember a situation when somebody who had so much influence and power was at the same time so invisible to the public. I've never really heard him explain his role, what he does, the decisions that are being made with him in the room, if not being made by him. That disconnect is striking to me.
And Cal McNair, whether he won 80s or just blatantly contradicts himself, and in the case of Deshaun Watson, it includes, well, lying to me about Easterby's role and what my influence might be or what his influence might be. Rarely in this profession am I allowed to say I'm without words. But there are components of this that you can't wrap your arms around it and think, really? Who is in the room thinking this is the course of action? Let's go about it this way. There's good, there's bad, there's indifferent. The one thing the Texans have going for them is very few are indifferent. I mean, it's outrage, but people are at least paying attention, in contrast to, say, the Rockets in Houston, who are a tree falling in the NBA woods, and no one's paying attention to know they're there.
Crazy times. Charlie, thank you so much for joining us and unpacking all things Houston Texans.
Thank you, Charlie.
All right, enjoy the cold.
I didn't have words, which is unusual for me, but you said it perfectly. Thanks for joining us.
Stay warm.
You bet. Take care.
You're listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network,
presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
All right, we're going to close out our show by acknowledging what people across the country may not appreciate is just what a major mark J.J. Watt has had, not only on the Texans, but on the entire city of Houston, particularly coming out of the Harvey disaster. And so we're going to give J.J. a chance to talk about his future and thank Houston. Here's J.J. Watt.
I'm excited and looking forward to a new opportunity, and I've been working extremely hard. But at the same time, it is always tough to move on. And I just want you guys to know that I love you. I appreciate you. I appreciate the McNair family for giving me, drafting me and giving me my first opportunity in the NFL. Thank you, Houston. I love you.
And the city of Houston loves him very dearly.
Yes, we do. And he's been an amazing ambassador, not only for Houston and the Texans, but for the entire NFL.
I think it'd be a great story for him to finish the career with the Steelers playing alongside his brothers.
I love that. I'm all about that.
Again, showing my age, I can remember when the Howe family, Gordy the father and Mark and Marty, the two sons, all played together for the Houston Arrows. To have family on a similar on the same team is a pretty special occasion.
Well, we wish you the best, JJ. We love you. Thanks for all you've done for Houston, and good luck to you.
And thanks for joining all of us here on the Sports Map Radio Network. This hour of the Sports Map Radio Network has been brought to you by Quicken Loans. Quicken Loans, if you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Go to Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. You're listening to the Boston Gloss Sports Map Radio.